Welcome to Valley Creek. We are a movement of hope for the city and beyond, and we're so glad you're listening to our podcast today. Whatever platform you're on, hit the subscribe or follow button so you get notified each week when a new message releases. Also, check out Valley Creek Plus for the latest resources to help you as you follow Jesus. And we'd love to stay connected with you. You can find us on your favorite social media platform or on valleycreek.org. Now let's join with all our campuses as we jump into our message today.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold. That's our cry as we start this new year, that God, we just want to know you. We want to see you. We want to experience you. We want to encounter you. And so we start this year just looking to you. And so welcome to Valley Creek. Happy New Year to you. And that's about all, because today is not about you, it's about Jesus. So before we get into welcomes and announcements and teaching and next steps and mission and all the good things that we do all the time, we're just starting this year by making it about Jesus. Even those of us with the best intentions, it's so easy for us to come in here and make it all about us. Our day, our worries, our cares, our plans, our stress. But today it's about Jesus. Being aware, turning our affection, turning our attention to him, because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, a people who belong to God, that you may declare the praises, that you may worship and sing and declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Because once you were not the people of God, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so we start this year as the people of God, doing what the people of God are created to do, surrendering and submitting to the lordship of Jesus in our lives and as our church. And so as one church across all of our campuses, we're all having the same exact experience today. So in unity, we can say Jesus is Lord and we are following him. And 2 Chronicles tells us, it says, if my people, you and me, who are called by his name, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and heal our land. What I want you to see there is that revival doesn't start out there. Revival starts right here. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face, revival can be released. And so today is about us humbling ourselves, seeking his face, and saying, God, we want to know you, and we want to see you move. And so in a minute, I'm going to invite you to start this year with an act of faith, an act of humility, and I'm going to invite you to kneel before Jesus if you want. In a minute, I'm going to give you the freedom. You can spread out into the aisles. You can come down to the front. You can go into the back where there's space. If you don't feel like physically you can kneel, that's okay. You can sit and just open up your hands as a posture of humility. If the row is tight, maybe you turn around and face the seat to kneel, but there's something about the people of God starting the year submitted and surrendered to Jesus and his kingdom. So I want to invite you, wherever you are, if you want to kneel, you can move around, use the space that we have. This is just saying I'm submitted and surrendered to the lordship of Jesus. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So as we bow before him, can we also with our tongue confess that Jesus is Lord? In fact, will you say that out loud with me? Jesus is Lord. Come on, let's say it again. Jesus is Lord. And maybe this time make it personal. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, you're my Lord. And I look to you. Can you see him? Can you see him in the Spirit? Can you see him and look upon his face that is shining as bright as the sun? Can you see his eyes as flames of fire? Can you see his hand holding the stars and his voice as loud as a rushing mighty water? Can you see a sword coming out of his mouth showing the power and the grandeur and the authority of him? Can you see him, the one who goes by the name Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? Do you realize you are bowed before the one who was, who is, and who is to come? That your knee is submitted and surrendered to the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. That you have chosen to surrender your life to the Good Shepherd, the light of the world, the way, the truth and the life, the one who is called grace and truth, the one who is living hope, the one who is the true vine that gives life to the world, the one who is the spring of living waters, the resurrection and the life, the one in whom life itself exists. And when we bow, what we do is we say, God, we take our kingdom and our queendom, and we surrender it to you because we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. I mean, make no mistake about it, you have a kingdom or a queendom. You have things you rule over: your body, your mind, your time, your resources, your family, your business, your possessions, your stuff. And what we do in this moment is we take off our crown and we lay it at the feet of Jesus and we say, your kingdom come and your will be done. In fact, can you submit and surrender your attitude to him? Can you submit and surrender your perspective to him? Can you submit and surrender your opinions to him? Can you submit and surrender your thoughts and your mindset? Maybe submit and surrender your heart and your hands and your feet and where you go and what you do. Can you maybe in your own way submit two of the hardest things, time and money, the two things that we hold on to with everything we've got? God, I give you my time and I give you my money because you are the king and I am not. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are worthy of my humility. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. There is something about humbling ourselves that opens our lives to a world of grace. You see, I know even bowing this long for a lot of us, it's uncomfortable. Physically, it starts to hurt and it's inconvenient. And I think that is a great picture of the spiritual declaration that you're making, is it's not comfortable to give up our kingdom. It's not convenient to allow someone else to be Lord. It's not easy to deny ourselves and trust in the goodness of another. But today, Lord, we come and say, you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And as the individuals that make up this church, we as individuals and as a people say, Jesus is Lord. And you are worthy of my worship. You are worthy of my bow. And you are trustworthy. And I can give you my life, my kingdom, my all.
The King of Glory, oh, you are worthy. We bow before you, we bow before you, oh, King of Glory. Thank you.
Today we choose to be aware of God's presence. There's many ways that we can invite the presence of God. One such way is reading the scriptures, especially reading them together, reading them responsively. The ancient Hebrews were aware of this practice. You see, as they would make their way to Jerusalem to worship their one true God, they would sing songs along the way. They would sing psalms along the way. These were called psalms of ascent. Why? Because they were going to approach the throne of God. Psalm 136 is an example of a song of ascent, but it's unique in that it invites participation from everyone, young, old, male, female. You see, the leaders would declare some act of goodness that God had done in the past, and then they would invite everyone to say the refrain, "His love endures forever." It was powerful. As you can see, I'm joined by voices of many different ages today. Why is that? It's because we are a multi-generational church. And Psalm 136 is a multi-generational psalm. You see, it doesn't matter if you're a child, a student, a young adult, a parent, a senior adult. This truth of God's faithful love applies to you. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
The moon and the stars to govern the night.
His love endures
forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm.
His love endures
forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
To him who struck down great kings.
His love endures
and killed mighty kings.
His love
Sion, king of the Amorites.
His love
and Og, king of Bashan.
His love
and gave their land as an inheritance.
His love
inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
Enemies.
His love endures forever.
He gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
The Lord's love holds no limit for every generation.
what the scripture says. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Let's give God the praise and the honor and the worship that he deserves. We praise you, Lord. You alone deserve our worship. You alone deserve our praise. For there is no one like you, and there is none beside you, God. No one but you.
mention of your name. We're filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name.
Can you give a shout of praise to Jesus? Come on, like you really mean it, like he's alive. Come on, Jesus, we give you our voice, our song, our life. Would you go ahead and grab your seat with me just for a moment? See, all we wanted to do together as a church is start this year just being aware of God. Turning the attention and the affection of our heart to him, not making the beginning of the year about us, but making the beginning of the year really about him. And I know sometimes we get so lost in ourselves, in our anxiety and our fear, worry, doubt, apathy, religion, busyness, pressures, responsibilities, expectations, that we get so internal. And we look in and of ourselves and we just get lost inside of ourselves. And sometimes it takes the people of God and the gathering to remind each other to say, you know what? Jesus is worthy of my song. You know what? Jesus is worthy of me standing in honor for him. You know what? Jesus, no matter how I feel, is worthy of my bowed knee. You know what? Jesus is worthy of my surrendered hands and my passionate heart. He's worthy of it, whether we realize it or not. And so today we just want to be aware of Jesus. And we've done that throughout this experience. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. When we worship, he comes and he's here. We see and experience God through his word. He is the living word. And when his word is spoken, he is revealed to us. And so through Psalm 136, we had an awareness of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. So through that creation video, we get to see the awareness and the grandeur and the greatness and the majesty of God. All creation, the rocks are crying out, telling us to turn our attention to God. Where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus says, there he is also. So this has just been a time of becoming aware that God is here. And then all we're doing is we're just trying to act like God is real, like God is here, and God is good. Who would have thought the church could be so easy? Just act like God is real, like God is here, and God is good. Huh. Who would have thought your life could have been that easy to just act like God is real, God is here, and God is good? That'd change your life, wouldn't it? It would change all your life. See, this isn't religion or an event or a gathering. This isn't doing a checkbox to get God's favor on the first Sunday of the year. You're not winning any bonus points in heaven by being here today. The real God who is really here, who is really good, just wants to meet with you and wants to meet with me. And he wants us to be reminded of his goodness and his greatness. And this is who we are as the people of Valley Creek. We are people who are passionate about God's presence. And all week I've been thinking about this one little verse, this little parable that Jesus tells us about the kingdom of heaven. He just says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. The kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. See, we all know what it's like to search for something we treasure. We all know what it's like to give our time, our energy, and our attention to search for something we value, something we want, something we treasure. And we all know what it's like to start a new year with goals, resolutions, plans, expectations, events. This is what I'm gonna do this year. This is how I'm gonna sort it out this year. This is how I'm gonna be different this year. We know what it's like to start the year saying, my business is gonna do this, and I'm gonna fix my marriage finally this year. And this year, our family is gonna do this, and I'm gonna get healthy and lose some weight, and my finances are gonna look like this, and I'm gonna go here, and I'm gonna finally make that dream happen. We know what it's like to start the year looking for all those things. We also know that year after year after year of doing that doesn't really deliver on the promise it offers us. But have you ever had a year where you started the year and said, the only thing I'm looking for this year is the treasure called Jesus and the kingdom of God? Have you ever had a year that you're like, the thing I'm, because you're, make no joke about it. You came in here and this year you're searching for something. There's some treasure you're looking for. And a lot of the treasure you're looking for isn't even bad. It's good things. A business, a marriage, a friend, breakthrough, health, healing, wholeness, finances. Those are all good things. God just tells us the way to find them is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Maybe that's why the man went away with such great joy, because he found the treasure, the only thing that actually mattered, and suddenly the joy that he had looked for in his life sprang forth. And so if we will be people that would start a year just saying, this is the year. Like all I wanna do this year is find Jesus and his kingdom. So I'm gonna search for it like a treasure. How do you search for something like a treasure hidden in a field? Well, you would do it intentionally. You don't search for a treasure haphazardly or coincidentally. You don't stumble upon a treasure like Jesus. There's a focus and an intentionality and a plan that I'm going after. And not only is it intentional, but you have to have this sense of perseverance. If you know there's a treasure in a field, if you don't find it today, that's okay. You're gonna go back tomorrow and you're gonna go the day after that, because you're gonna have a determination, a commitment, a sense of resolve, like I am going to find this. And then every day you would search with hope, because today could be the day. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. It's the day I'm gonna find the treasure in that field. And then you do it sacrificially. Because if you're really a treasure hunter and you're looking for treasure, there's a lot of other things you can't do. You have to give them up, but it doesn't actually feel like a sacrifice when you find the only thing that matters. And so what if this year was the year of looking for Jesus and the kingdom as a treasure in a field? What if he was the only thing, like the one thing I ask, David says, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. David said, all I want is God. Or how about Martha, who is worried and upset? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that better thing. We're 5 days into the new year. Are you already worried and upset about many things? Only one thing is needed, and his name is Jesus. Or how about the rich young ruler who wanted eternal life, who knew there was something about this? Like, this is real. I know there's something more than what I've got. Jesus, what do I got to do? And he says, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, come follow me. In other words, what he's saying is, the one thing you lack is me, because you're holding on to all the stuff of this world. Can you let it go to come after me? Or how about Paul when he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards what is ahead. In other words, he says, I am so focused on Jesus as the treasure that I'm willing to let go of the past, the pain, the offense, the bitterness, the envy, the brokenness, the patterns, the dysfunction, the last 5 years of disappointment from, I'm letting it go because there's something to find and it's right here in front of me. And when I start looking for Jesus and his kingdom as the treasure, what will happen is I'll become aware of God in my life. Even if I don't fully feel like I find it, I will start to become aware that God is with me, man. You'll start to realize he's above you and below you, to your right and left, and in you and upon you. You will wake up and start realizing, surely God is in my life, and I was not aware of it. Start to realize that actually in him I live and move and have my very being, that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. And as I start to become more aware of him, the only thing that can then happen is I start to have a healthy fear of the Lord. See, awareness of God leads to healthy fear of the Lord. You say, I'm supposed to be afraid of God? No, perfect love casts out fear. Healthy fear of the Lord is to see him for who he is. Awe, reverence, wonder, worth, honor, the humility to bow joyfully before the Lord, raise my hands as one who deserve it, sing a song to him, regardless of if I feel uncomfortable or not, because he is worthy of my all. So I have this healthy fear of the Lord, holding him in high esteem. And the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. If you want wisdom and knowledge how to live your life, the pathway is through the fear of the Lord, awe and wonder, reverence of him. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God is literally called the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit in your life gives you a healthy fear of the Lord. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not afraid of God, but this awe and reverence and wonder that he has saved me, because I was not a people of God, but now I am the people of God. I used to not have mercy, and now have mercy. So now walk that out, work it out with a reverence of who he is and what he has done. And then as you have this fear of the Lord, you move to this place of radical obedience. Because I can't say no to God when I see him for who he is, and I'm aware that he is right here. Why? Because I don't want to, because I believe he's good. That's why Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. This is why Jesus says, blessed are those who hear and obey. Because you say so, Lord, I will do it. So if we will look for Jesus as a treasure in the field, we'll become aware, we'll have a healthy fear of the Lord, we'll put him where he belongs. And then we'll start to obey and walk in the freedom and the life that he offers us. And I don't know, I just wanna say to you, like, all I want in my life is more of God. All I want for our church is more of God. I don't wanna do events and gatherings and services and experiences. I just want more of God. I wanna see him. I wanna know him. I wanna have new experiences and encounters with him. I wanna walk with him and do life with him. I've been praying for our church for signs and wonders, for miracles and healings, for dreams and visions, for a spirit of discipleship to come upon us, that we wanna be disciples of Jesus, that we would be willing to deny ourselves and pick up our cross. I'm praying for new gifts to be released into your life to accomplish the destiny that God has for you. I'm praying for sparks of revival to literally start shooting out of our life and ignite the things around us on fire, because there is so much fire inside of us in Jesus' name that it can't help but come through the cracks in our clay jar, because that treasure within us is so strong that sparks of revival begin to fly out of our lives. It's like I'm praying for so much more for our church than just having services and events and gatherings and rhythms and routines. That's why we're starting this year this way. And if you don't have faith for that, that's okay. If you're like, I don't have faith to search for a treasure in a field, I don't even know that I believe all that, here's the good news. Do you realize that you are the treasure to Jesus hidden in the field of this world? And he is searching for you with everything that he's got. Intentionally, it's not haphazard. He's coming after you with a focus and a plan. He's coming with perseverance. If he doesn't get you today, he'll start again tomorrow. He's coming with hope because every day he thinks today is the day his lost son or daughter is gonna finally come home and wake up. And then sacrificially, he sold everything he had to get you the treasure in the field, and that is his great joy. For the joy set before Jesus, he went to the cross. He sold everything he had to get you the treasure in the field. So if you don't have faith to seek Jesus, know that Jesus has the faith to seek you. So here's what we want to do as we begin to wrap up together is I'm going to invite you in a moment to just stand up and find two or three people around you and just pray a simple prayer that this year they would be captivated by Jesus. Pray for the people around you that they would have a desire to seek God, that their heart would turn to him with everything that they've got, and with passion they would go after him. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there he is also, and whatever we ask for, believe that we have received it. What better prayer to pray over the people around you than that they would be captivated by Jesus this year? So will you stand up? If you don't feel comfortable to participate, you don't have to, but maybe look at two or three people around you, and just for the next few minutes, can you just pray that this year they would be captivated by Jesus, that they would search for him as a treasure in a field, and that they would long for him more than anything else. So Jesus, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you respond to the measure of faith that we have. I pray that we would be a people captivated by you, that this year we would search for you as a treasure hidden in a field with intentionality and perseverance and hope and sacrificial pursuit. God, I pray that you would capture our heart, capture my heart, turn our hearts towards you. Help us become aware of your goodness and your grace. Help us to live with a healthy fear of the Lord. Help us to have radical obedience and to live like you are good and you are real and you are here. God, I pray that you would begin moving in our church and every person that's here in a new way. I pray for new dreams and visions to fill their life of the destiny and the calling that you have for them. I pray that you would bring fresh wind, that you would ignite fresh fire. that you would release signs and wonders and healings and miracles, that things that have been lost would be restored, things that are broken would be fixed, things that are bound in our life, like anxiety and depression and fear and worry and sin patterns and generational curses. In Jesus' name, we break them. We break them. In Jesus' name, we break them off. The anxiety, the worry, the doubt, the fear, the generational curses, the selfishness, the self-consumedness, the apathy, we break it off in Jesus' name, because we are created for so much more. So stir up sparks of revival in our life, God. And if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, maybe just turn open your hands like this. And I'm just gonna pray that you would be filled fresh with the Spirit of the living God. Jesus wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, immerse you in His Spirit. It's a gift from God, and He wants to fill you afresh. So right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would baptize each one of us in the name of Jesus. Can you start feeling the Holy Spirit just starting to fill you up? Can you feel Him at the very bottom, like in your feet? The presence of the Lord beginning to move and fill you up. As it's filling your feet, it's moving into your legs. It's the very presence of God filling you fresh. As it fills up your legs, it moves into your core. Can you feel the fire of God? The warmth of His presence filling you up into your chest and your heart? Can you feel the presence of God now pouring into your arms and anointing your hands for the works He's called you to do? Holy Spirit, come, keep filling us up. And can you feel Him in your neck? Presence of God in your neck, determining which way you will turn and look and go in this life, and then filling up your head. Presence of God filling up your mouth so you will speak words of heaven, your nose so you will smell the very fragrance of heaven, filling up your ears so you will hear the very words of heaven, into your eyes, giving you the ability to see in the invisible. Can you feel the fire of God filling up your head, healing your thoughts, breaking old patterns, renewing your mind? And it doesn't stop there. It comes out the top of your head and, like warm oil, covers your entire body, because you are immersed, baptized into the very Spirit of God, into the very fire of God, into the very life of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh for this year that's ahead, a year of grace, a year where we are looking to you. In Jesus' name, may fire fall in your life.